Okay. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Isn't it gorgeous outside? It is just beautiful day out there. Hey, we could have service outside, right? Yeah, maybe we ought to consider that sometime, huh? Anyway, how about we start with hymn number 619, please? And let's stand. 619.
Not suffer loss from victory unto victory. His army shall he lead till every foe vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us today. The sunshine, Lord, the blue skies, the clouds, Lord. Just the warm temperatures, the coolness of the air. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Our church doors are open in spite of all that's going around us, Lord. We're here today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, for keeping us safe, Lord. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems, Lord, but it's a gift from you, Lord. Help us to use it wisely as we live here. Today, Lord, we're anticipating a bit of time in your word, along with our pastor, Lord. Lord, I ask you to give him the strength that he needs today to deliver your message, Lord, and that message might touch someone's heart today, Lord, that they might get right with you, Lord, before they leave the building. Bless this time to come, Lord. We've got a little presentation going on later. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. The joy of the Lord, we got that? Boy, may have to have somebody come up and do a solo on that. Huh? No? Okay.
Go ahead. I'll help you.
All right. I forgot to bring my sheet up.
All right, this is an old Sunday school song, but hopefully you'll find the application of it today as we work through our message. Hopefully today you have joy because of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. He heals the brokenhearted and they cry no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He fills my soul with laughter, and ha, ha, ha. He fills my soul with laughter, ha, 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 ha. He fills my soul with laughter, ha, 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 ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you want joy, you must ask for it.
If you
want joy, you must ask for it. If you want joy, you must ask for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Thanks, Pastor.
Man, praise the Lord.
Well, that's the last thing I thought I was going to have to do today. Let's see. How about announcements? Here we go. Evening service. Here we go. Tonight, we're going to have church at 6 o'clock, so make sure you get back for that. Message is going to be finishing well, challenges from the Word, and we're going to have communion tonight, so don't forget that. Women's Bible study, June 7th and the 21st of this month. Personal evangelism is going to meet the 14th and the 28th of this month, and the Wilton Bible study is June 9th and 23rd. Deacon's meeting is going to be the 16th. Let's see, quarterly meeting is June 12th, 6 in the evening. Please get info to Pastor or Deb if there's anything you want added to the agenda that we have planned for that. There will be fellowship at the end of this month. We can always use help on the fellowships. If interested, please see Deb. Pastor's thought for the week, if you really want revival, make sure it starts in you. Guys, if you'll come forward now, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for all the events that went on this week, Lord, that went well for you, especially the VBS thing, Lord, the attendance, the folks that helped, Lord, all the work that was done. It was done for you, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Thank you now, Lord, for this opportunity to give just a small portion back to you, Lord. I ask that you would be with the gift and the giver, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Bunch of folks up here going to do special music.
Our dishes and our lunch mess and Paul stuck around on Gator's course.
lovely registration, ladies.
Lava, lava, luau. Come and join us. Registration opens at 8:30 and the program starts at 9 a.m.
Here, pick up at 3 p.m. Say hi, kids.
Hi.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you.
stuck. I forgot to put sound with the pictures, too. I apologize if it's dry.
Let's do joy, joy, God of my heart. I've got the joy.
Sorry about that, everybody. We've had a slideshow going again. And for all those that are at home listening to this, sorry about the big gap in the sound. There are a lot of dead airspace. We were just showing the VBS video. So, again, that's for everybody that's at home listening to this. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. It's not up there.
Thank you so much, everyone. I assume that I'm the next one to get up here and continue on. We did have a wonderful week at Bible school. By the way, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. It's good to see a nice number out today. I know we're technically in summer vacation, but I hope you're not taking a vacation from the Lord. I do see a few people, quite a few people missing this morning, but you will be blessed by investing your summer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're glad for everyone that's here today. I trust today that you have awoken today, thinking and considering the Lord, looking into His Word, and examining our hearts, that this might be a day of worship and joy and gladness before Him. Even though the world around us may be rocky and crumbling, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, is standing sturdy today. And I'm excited about that. His Word is sure, it's everlasting. And He offers the only true peace that is available to us. And He made peace with us through the blood of His cross. So I greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning. And let me just say, we did have a great time at camp. Excuse me. I'm struggling with a little frog here this morning. But we covered the emotions, many of the emotions that we face in our sin, but we also were introduced and understood about the Savior who has come, and many of those emotions He also bore, but He can give us victory over those things in our life. And that's why we're here today, about a victorious message in Jesus Christ. So may this day be valuable to you, and may our hearts consider, once again, the direction that we're headed personally and even as a church. So the message title today is Elements of Revival from Nehemiah's Day. And the core text today will be found in Nehemiah 8 through 10. Before I go to prayer, if anyone needs a handout and you did not get one off the back table today, it is not on the screen today, but there is a handout. An usher will bring one if you would just raise a hand. And again, we're glad. We're glad for this message of the Word of God today. How many of you today want revival? And personally and in our churches and in our nation and world, I see a few hands up today. I'm glad for a faithful few. I'm excited about the possibilities of revival. And that's why the Holy Spirit laid this message on my heart for this day, because it's important. And everything that God has in His Word is something to pay attention to, because it is not there for not a given purpose. God will use it if you'll allow the Spirit to apply it to your life. So with that said, and all, one more thing. There's some Bibles up here in the front pew. Some students needed those from Vacation Bible School. If you have a contact with those students, there are a few Bibles up here in the front seat that you may take and give to those students. Also, let's be proactive, Fruitland Baptist Church. Let's get out and visit those that came to Bible school and encourage them to come to Sunday school and come to church. And I hope today you're excited about your walk with the Lord. Let's go to prayer and we'll begin this message. Our Father in heaven, we come today before your throne, humbly acknowledging, Lord, that you are the sovereign God of the universe, you're the Savior of the world, and you're the lover of mankind. We acknowledge too today before your throne, Lord, in humility, our sinfulness, our wretchedness, and the fact that in and of ourselves we can do nothing to help ourselves. We acknowledge that you are the God of all help, the God of mercy and grace. And so today, Lord, we approach you and stand in awe of you as to who you are and what you have done in the program of mankind. Father, I pray today that you would open our hearts to revival. Many of these elements that are listed in your word, not just in Nehemiah's day and in his situation, are applicable to all revivals throughout history. And Lord, there's been a drought, there's been a dearth of revival in our nation, in our churches, but most importantly, Lord, in our personal lives. Satan has skewed our thinking on so many things, Lord, but we need to get back to basics, and we need to understand that through you alone and our being willing to be used by you, great things can happen. And we are not in trouble today, Lord, because of you. We're in trouble because of our own negligence of your word and allowing Satan to get the upper hand. So, Father, I pray today that you would bind his hands. I pray that you would open hearts today. And, Lord, that we would be examining our lives and the life of the church, the life of our nation, and the life of the world under the microscope of revival. like it was in Nehemiah's day and other times throughout history. Lord, send us a revival and may it start in me. Now, Lord, I'm the one responsible here, and it's a privilege. It's not just a responsibility to preach your word. But I pray that you'd guide and direct and empower me. Lord, we all know there may be those of our number that are ill today. Some may be struggling in their faith walk. There could have been a fight in a home this morning, anger. Choices that were made, why they did or did not come today to publicly gather to worship. We also thank you, Lord, that there's a new family in our church today, Mr. and Mrs. Woodrow Meyer. And as they were married yesterday, Lord, I pray you will bless that union in the days to come, if it might be your will. And then, Lord, there's this guy standing up here this morning. He's the real weak link in the chain. And, Lord, I need your help. It's your thing. I'm willing to do it, Lord. I need your help. May the Spirit have his free course today in the hearts of the believers and in the preaching. And I ask these things now in that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, what a privilege it is to stand before you today and open God's living, powerful, divine word to us all. I count it not, as I said, not only a responsibility, but it's a privilege. And to be here as God's spokesperson and the under-shepherd of this flock that he's entrusted me with here at Fruitland, I have a responsibility in your lives before God. I need to be up here today preaching the word like always and loving people, loving God's sheep. And you know what? We need to be listening to the shepherd who is Jesus Christ. You know, this book is his. It's through his divine inspiration in accomplishment with the Holy Spirit that he has given us his marching orders. And this book is the answer book. It will tell us everything we need to know from the one who created the whole thing. So, folks, it's important. It's powerful. It's divine. And it's alive. And let me just say this, folks. Don't let Satan fool you into thinking revival is not possible in our day. Do I think our day is dark? Yes. Do I think our day is growing darker? Yes. Do I think it's the worst time the world has ever experienced? No. But I know this, that the light of the world, who is Jesus, is still shining bright. And he has called us to be reflectors of that light and to take that light into the world that is dark around us. Not to hole up in a fort and get our weapons out and prepare for doomsday, but prepare for the day of the Lord. If it's to come now, let it come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that what we were told? Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. But yet none of us are ready for him to return, are we? And you know why we're not ready? Because there's things that need to be done. There's his work that needs to be done. There are souls that need to be saved that are headed for hell. Hell is eternal destruction. Jesus has provided us eternal paradise and fellowship with him in a place called heaven. These are important things. Satan has fooled people. Half of the Christians around have given up already, I think, or more. They say, well, these are the end times. There's nothing that can be done. There's a lot that should be done. And the churches, to a great extent, are responsible for the deadness that I see today in Christianity. It is possible, revival, but it must begin individually, spreading to the church. Did you hear that? It has to start individually. The sum of the parts will equal the sum of the whole. You want to see things change? See yourself changed first. Now, I have no idea what is going on in people that are or aren't here today in their lives, but we're all pretty much common, aren't we? And I think it's safe to say from the evidence that's before us is that many of us are not right with God as we should be today. We want revival, but we don't want to do anything to see it happen. That's someone else's job. That's Pastor John's job. No, it's our job working as a team. Never forget that. It has to begin spreading individually and then to the church and the churches up the chain from there nationally. The church has lost much of its effective force in our nation and in our world and eventually worldwide. It has happened before, and our text today is one of the examples that describes such a time under Nehemiah. And the southern kingdom of Judah, after the Babylonian Medo-Persian takeover and captivity that lasted 70 years, how did that southern tribe and the southern tribes before them get taken into captivity? Because they failed to heed the warning of God and to turn from their sin and their iniquity to God. And they were punished. And folks, we face a similar situation today. It took 70 years of captivity before things began to change. How long will it take America to change before we go into captivity? Or will we indeed have to face the same thing? I think it is possible. I think both things are possible, that we may be sliding towards destruction rapidly, but I also believe that God wants a revival. If we want it, folks, it's been several generations since large-scale revival has come to America. Enough said. Let's pray it will happen in our day. Amen. This morning, key elements of revival from Nehemiah's day. Now, what I've got in point one there, we're not going to go through. We're going to go as quickly as we can through these. I'm going to just talk about one thing from the first point. But what there is a brief timeline about Nehemiah and the event of this great revival that took place in the southern kingdom of Judah. You can look through that. It's not definitive, but I'm giving you the highlights of that. By the way, Nehemiah was preceded by a guy named Ezra. Ezra was called back from captivity to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah was called back from captivity to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. A feat that even in those days should have taken a long time, but was accomplished in 52 days. Because if you read that text, it says the people had a mind to, and it's a four-letter word, work. The believers, those that were called of God by faith, there was revival, and they said, you know, instead of just plodding through life and through this situation, we're going to go to work. So, point A, there was repentance and confession of the spiritual and national leadership that will have to take place for revival to start. Nehemiah, Ezra saw the conditions of things, and they said, we cannot go any longer. We are going to do something about this. Now, let me just say this again. Things come from the bottom up. If you're a leader here today, and everyone in this room is a leader, if you want revival, you better take inventory of the situation, and you better say, I'm ready to. If you're a leader at Fruitland Baptist Church today, and you want revival at Fruitland Baptist Church, it's going to take more than lip service. It's going to take work. You're going to have to talk to people. You're going to have to pray for people. You're going to have to study God's Word. You're going to have to draw closer to God. You're going to have to be loving people. Did I say that already? And you're going to have to take action as a leader. Otherwise, lip service is all that'll ever come out of it. It takes action, and it takes, and I'll add another four-letter word, hard work. Now, you can go through these seven things that took place here in Nehemiah's timeline on his side of it, and you'll find something else. There's always going to be challenges to everything that is done for the Lord by who? Our adversary, who is Satan, the devil. And you will face those challenges if there is to be a revival, but God can overcome them. All right, so now we're going to go to point two today, and either on your Bibles, in your paper Bibles, or in your devices, we'll want to follow along in the Word, because these are key elements that are found if there is to be a revival. These are personally, as a church, nationally, and worldwide. And I think a lot of these are going to ring true and going to ring home. And I pray today that God will strike us down to our knees and say, you know what, today's the day we better get things straightened around, because time is running out. Let's go to chapter 8. We're going to begin with 8:1. The first thing that we want to look at, you have fill in the blanks. I don't have them on the screen, but just listen carefully. I would never give you permission to cheat at Fruitland Baptist Church, but I do think there is permission to copy or help a neighbor that may not catch the point. The first point in your blanks this morning is public worship. Isn't it interesting that we're gathered here this morning for public worship? But you know, we know that a good many of our number, especially this morning, are not gathered here for public worship of our number. There may be legitimate reasons, there may not be. But public worship is a litmus test of the fervor of God's people. Public worship is a litmus test of the fervor of God's people. I'll tell you what, folks, it's not just even though the Bible teaching, preaching churches are doing better than most today, there has been a steady decline of public worship attendance in our nation. You're going to be amazed in the next 5 or 10 years how many churches are going to fold up. Unless there is revival. By the way, I'm going to use my wrestling analogy. You don't look up till you get put on your back. And it fits in wrestling. When you get placed on your back, you're near to being pinned. There's what's called a near fall. But if the ref is watching and your shoulder blades are pinned to the mat, you're done. But you will not look up until you're placed on your back. Folks, the ref's counting for the church. Well, here it is, Nehemiah 8, chapter 1, we're going to begin. Here is what happened after they came back, after they rebuilt the walls. Then a spiritual rebuilding began. We'll just walk through this together. Public worship. And all the people, by the way, underline that or underscore it on your device. And all the people. Unity. Unity. You know, we've had a season here at Fruitland, we've had pretty good unity of our people. The biggest challenge I see at Fruitland Baptist Church is a lack of people's desire to be here together. I have been praying now for almost 20 years that I'd see this auditorium packed out again. It could be packed out every Sunday, but for various reasons, it's not. Unity. There are too many diversions in the lives of people. We have to get focused on Jesus Christ. To see revival, you've got to have a clear focus of where we're headed and what we're here for. But notice what happened. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man, unity. And notice where they did this. Into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Public worship. Public reading and exposition of the Word of God. Did you notice here? They even asked him to open the book. Most of the time in churches, even Christians are saying, when is this going to end? You're going to notice some other interesting things here. You notice I have day one and day two that talks about this revival. The first day, the preaching lasted from morning till noon. We used to have a person that attended here at Fruitland Baptist when it turned, and by the way, it's a rarity that I ever go till noon. I don't think I ever have. My goal is to be in at 20 till. What we can't get done today, we'll get done tomorrow, if the Lord allows it. We can't take the whole word in one shot. We learn a little here, a little there. But we need to learn. But folks are ready to go. After about an hour, it's all they can stand. Now, I understand that. We need to take restroom breaks. But you tell me, is there really a fervor for public worship today? And the answer I'm going to give you right now is very little. It's good to attend. You feel better after you have. Maybe some are convicted. But there's not a thirst for the Word. It should be very obvious to all of us. So that's one of the first things you're going to find when there's going to be a revival. People are going to get interested in the Word of God and getting back to worshiping God and doing it publicly. Notice here they did it in the street. I think it would be good to have some outdoor services again this year. If it didn't do anything else, it got some people thinking and interested. It really did. And maybe it woke some of the neighbors up. I wonder how the public worship service will fit in with the public lawn mowing next door that comes usually coincidentally with our services. Anyway, second thing today, point B under chapter 8 here, key elements of revival found in verses 2 and 3. Here it is, a renewed interest in preaching and learning the word, a thirst. Again, people don't like preaching today. They've been conditioned to keep it short and sweet. Let's not get into anything in depth. We want it very quick. We want it very entertaining. Let's, Autumn, thank you for what you did, or whoever was involved in that video. But you said it. People want to do what? They want to see action. They want to hear things, and then go to something else. We need to take time, if there's going to be a revival, to get absorbed in the Word of God. And in the study of it, not just the reading superficial stuff, but getting down and dirty with it. And folks, that will be a sign of revival if there is, and that it is there, if there is a renewed interest in preaching and learning the word. It's called a thirst. We have so much in front of us in our modern world. We have paper Bibles, we have cyber Bibles. Bibles are easily obtained. The Word of God is there for free. And for most people, that's all it's worth. I always said if we charge $10,000 for a Bible, people may take it more seriously. But what a shame. We walk over the things that are there that we could have in our hand all the time. That's going to have to change in a revival. It will change in a revival. Verses 2 and 3. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until... I don't want you to tell me, but I already know if we had a service that lasted from 6 o'clock in the morning till 12 noon, many of you would not show up. You ask yourself why you wouldn't show up. I can tell you, but I'm not going to. But why wouldn't you? And I'm going to tell you that one of the main... Because it intrudes on my... You can think about that. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were... It's in italics. They were attentive unto the book of the law. In other words, the Holy Spirit was working in those thirsty hearts, and the Word of God was bringing water to those thirsty hearts from the Word. That will be a part of revival if you see it. I ask us all in this room, do you have a thirst for the Word of God? Do you have a thirst to stick it out and to be fed and to be watered from God's Word? When we see that happen, we'll know that revival is beginning to take place in you and me and all the way up the rest of the chain. Verses 4 and 5. This is C on your outline. The authority of the pulpit. The authority of the pulpit. Well, let's see what it says here in verse 4 and 5. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. I want you to tell me, and you can respond on this, this is a pulpit here. It's a lectern. By the way, I am standing on a platform. This is not a stage. I am not an actor. A stage is where you act. That's in the theater. The pulpit symbolizes the authority of the Word of God and preaching. The Bible has always endorsed preaching. Preaching is compelling language based in the Word of God that causes people to come to an action. You tell me what's happened in our local churches in the last 30, 40 years. I'm going to tell you, they've taken the pulpit out of the church. They've got a stand. They've got someone standing in holy jeans or maybe wearing a hat backward. Being cool. By the way, that's why I don't have whiskers now, because I'm still living in my old days when I worked on my machinery. Well, it was really God's machinery that he gave me to work on. He saw fit to keep me humble by working on junk. And you're going to get, I've always been clean shaven. I'm not against beards or anything. But hey, there's a style today in the churches. Let me tell you something, I don't meet that style. My old International pickups and my rusted out trucks and all that, I'm not in the style, folks. My hair doesn't even fit the style. But let's get serious. When the pulpits are removed from the platforms, this is a place that is meant to symbolize the authority of the Word of God. When they've been removed, what else has been removed with it? The Word's been dumbed down. Thank the Lord for archaic old Fruitland Baptist Church. We have changed. We're not what we once were either, but you know what? As I've said, and some of you may take offense, we haven't totally soiled our garments. This is a piece of wood, but the authority of the Word of God must come from the person that stands behind this and be delivered for there to be revival. Folks, you're not going to see revival when it's dumbed down church. Well, here's what he said. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they made for the... By the way, I have to say this. I am not a cleric either. I don't wear a collar. I am not clergy. When I go to a hospital, it says parking for clergy. I park in a regular spot. I am a pastor, an under-shepherd. Clergy, or the idea that the clergy is between people and God, is wrong. We're all on the same plane, folks. I'm just called to feed the flock and to care for the flock and deliver the word to the flock of God and love the flock. But you can go right to the Lord, right to God the Father through Jesus Christ, power of the Holy Spirit. His blood made the way. So don't think that there's clergy and that I have some special, I have no special powers. You have nothing more than any of the rest of us. It's the teaching and preaching and the responsibilities and the privileges that go along with shepherding God's flock. Anyway, back to where we were. Which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattatiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah. These are the priests. And Maaseiah on his right hand and on his left. Padiah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Hashbad Anu. And Zechariah and Meshulam. And just to put a little humor here again, Kim had some of these picked for our children. And I said no. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the... See, this is what I want. He wasn't above them. He was the same level. But he what? He was proclaiming God's word from a place of authority. Okay? For he was above all... Oh! We have an emergency. Ushers, are you all right? Okay. Do we need to call some help? I think you should. Yeah. Okay, Diana? Carrie? Are you feeling faint? Can I feel your pulse, Diana? You have a rapid heartbeat. Yeah. Why don't you just try to relax, okay? And we're going to call. We'll call the EMTs down to help you.
Okay. Yeah. What happened before? You were working once in a while.
Do you have a diabetic issue of any kind? Okay. Okay. All right. Well, will you please let us know? Are you sure you wouldn't want to go get checked out?
No, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
You can take your sister, no problem.
Fine.
Okay.
I can take you, no problem.
Fine.
If you feel bad, I'll take you.
It's okay.
You sure?
Okay.
Sorry about that.
If you do it again, I'll take you to the hospital.
Okay. All right. All right.
I think Kim is calling.
Yeah. Kim is calling? Okay.
Thank you.
Let's just have a word of prayer. Please. Help me with your name. I've lost it here. Her name. Kaylin. Karen. Lord, I just pray for Karen now at this time. Lord, I pray that you'll protect her and watch over her. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the right wisdom here. I think we have called the EMTs, but it's better to get checked, Lord, because you do want life preserved. You want life preserved that you may act in our lives, Lord, in the days that you give us. So I pray for Karen now that you'll uphold her and help her now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Okay. Karen, if you feel faint, please. I think some help's on the way. Not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. Okay. Maybe we could get some ushers and maybe the nurses we have here today to help Karen. We have a wheelchair back there. I think that would be good for you to... Okay. Hang on to her, guys. Okay, Lord, I pray you'll protect Karen. We're going to get back to business here for about 5 minutes, all right? But keep her in prayer. Keep her in prayer till we get some help here to check her out thoroughly. Where did I stop here? Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people... Have you ever wondered when we do a public Bible reading why we ought to stand? Because it's to honor God and his word. It's important. I wouldn't even want to ask today how many people maybe didn't even bring a Bible to church. Maybe you don't understand. It is a very important thing to have the Word of God in front of you. How can you know what's being preached if we don't have the Word of God and have it and examine it as it's being done? Anyway, you'll see when the authority of the pulpit comes back and preaching and the purpose and the opening of the Word of God, when those things come back, then I think you'll see revival begin to take effect in our nation, because there is a respect for the authority of the Word of God. Let me just say this before we move to the next point. The Word of God has been devalued in our culture. Many people have nominally bought into the lie that the Word of God really is not even relevant, that it is not true. I challenge you this morning, show me where it's not true. It stood the test of time, folks. It is true because it claims to be the truth. And it came from Almighty God. It's His inerrant word. And yet, what do we see proclaimed? It's not true. It has no value. Go to human means to correct human problems. No, we go to divine means as sinful humans to have sinful problems corrected in Jesus Christ through His word. The last thing this morning, and we're going to quit. Save your sheets or we'll make more. Is item D here. In chapter 8, and you'll find your blank answer in what I'm going to say. It's an emotional response to the word before God. Sometimes here at Fruitland, I have to literally go to say, and this is the conclusion. And I say it again, and this is the conclusion, and I might hear a fake. Because you're ready to go. We're dead, folks. There's no revival in dead people. There can be. But notice what took place here in this last point before we close today, verses 6 through 12. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered,
Amen.
Amen. So be it. That's what amen means. They were excited. The Word of God energized them because, you know, like Hebrews 4:12, it's living, It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When the Word of God penetrates your heart, if it is to be here today through the power of the Spirit, you will not be able to contain your love for God and for what His Word says, and you'll be in this. And I'll tell you, you want to know something that really makes me mad is this thing that's come into our churches in the last 20 years or so, and it is in the Scriptures, but where the leader of the worship says, and has to do this, and all God's people said, wrong. That comes from people. You don't have to ask someone to make you do that. Because if it's not there from the Spirit, it's not there. And it's fraud. Amen. And here I'm talking about it. They lifted their hands. As you're led by the Spirit about those things. If it's genuine, if it's for a show, there's nothing there but a show. But if God moves your heart, show Him. What did we learn at camp this week? We have emotions. They came from God. We closed with the emotion of joy. Campers, or if you're here today, and leaders, why do we have the emotion of joy? Where did it come from? It came from Jesus Christ. In case you're visiting today, or you won't be here for a reason next Sunday, I hope you are, go over to verse 10 quickly. This is why we sang that song this morning. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Cha-cha-cha. I had to add that. But notice, lifting their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Folks, this is a worship. We call it a service. It's a service to God of our worship. But most people come to church expecting to be served in some way, which is not necessarily wrong, but this is about heartfelt worship to God. It's not a pew polishing day. So you feel good when you leave. It's about Him. And Yeshua and Bani, and I'm not going to go through all these names, but you can see them here. They're the priests, the leaders, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. It's in italics, but it's implied. The leadership must be ready to teach the flock. And notice here, these people were not sitting in their seats that morning. Where were they? Why is standing important? Because when you stand, you will not fall asleep very long. If you fall asleep when you stand, you will be woken up. They stood because this was a what? It was a priority. It was important to them. They didn't have to have all the conveniences. You know, some of us that are older remember when there was no such thing as air conditioning in a church building. Any of the rest, anyone here remember that? It was hand fans or the windows and electric fans. Funeral homes used to advertise with hand fans. Up in Wilton, the Harry B. Griffith Funeral Home. Where your hymnals are, were fans in hot weather. Ask yourselves, how long would you stand for that, coming here to listen to a guy like me with no air? And by the way, antiperspirants were not all that great back in those days either. We got to get done here. Verse 8, we'll come back. This might take us a couple of weeks. And I got another request this morning for messages. We got so much stuff to do. Praise God. People are interested in His Word. So they read in the book of the law of God, notice here, distinctly. In other words, the message was preached and delineated line by line, precept upon precept, just like God's Word says. And that's how we learn, if we're wanting to learn. If not, you can watch the fans, you can watch your device, you can draw on the papers. The Word of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. In the King James Version, that word sense just simply means logic. Preaching must be logical. I would love to finish this message today. Give me a couple more hours and we'd have her done. But the point is, what I'm delivering to you today must be logical about revival. And the Word of God is logical. When you're under the leadership of the Spirit, it will make sense to you and you will act upon it. If it is to be. Well, we're going to stop there. So here's the conclusion today. But let's pray that we can come back and hear some more of this. By the way, I was going to get to this. I'll just remind us of this tonight. Under the second day, they rediscovered and obeyed the commands of the Word. And we'll talk about that next week. They went to the Feast of Tabernacles. Christians, tonight is communion here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Communion is typically the least attended service that we have. That's another indicator of people's fervor for Jesus Christ. You can think about it. In conclusion, and I couldn't get through all these elements, but you have them on your sheet and you can figure them out on your own if you're not back. But these elements will be critical evidence of revival personally, ecclesiastically, which is the church, nationally and internationally. Revival implies the reinvigoration of the dead. Revival is about the believers. First, the reinvigoration of dead, backslidden believers that spreads to the unsaved. That's how that works. No revival has not been preceded by prayer. Just thought I'd throw that out there. The evidence of one is needed, that one is needed, is very obvious. Revival. The evidence of it happening in the above order and steps is less obvious and rare today. I guess I'm wrong on this. I think it's obvious in your face. Now the question, what is your response to all this? Well, he's done. He's 5 minutes late. Let's go on with life and have dinner. Well, some of you call it lunch. I call it dinner. So what is your response? Well, I'll tell you what. Time will prove it out. We're either sliding into a dark hole, a return of Christ, or we're going to see a revival. You'll see a revival when people get reinvigorated and they get fed up with everything that's going on and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. But time will prove it out. But if you recognize your place in it and need for it today is the beginning of what is to come. Enough said. You've heard the message. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. 425. Let's stand if you're able. I pray that you will come back and that we'll continue to fellowship together in this message. And that God will speak to your heart. But you know what? Today, like I said, it's on your plate. It's on my plate. You want to see things better? Right now is the time to go to Jesus and get it started. If He's speaking to your heart today, the Holy Spirit is calling you and saying, you know, we need, I know it, and I need it in myself. Don't go out the door. Do it. I can't do it for you, folks. I can come alongside and help you. Truthfully, when we're messing around with God, I wouldn't walk another step without getting it right. If He's calling you. Consider our plight today and consider your part and my part in it. Let's sing. Maybe today someone will respond, whether it's in your seats or you choose to come publicly. Remember, public worship. Public before the Lord. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy, Thy. mine. The first verse of that hymn is a good prayer to start today with the Lord. He's waiting for you today. If you need help today, mention a word to me as you go out. I will take time and pray with you. We will discuss these things and encourage you. Jeff, are we blocked on our exit? Okay, so either way, otherwise I'll greet you at this door today. And Lonnie, I'm going to ask that you close in prayer, please.
Man.